Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We be seated. Don't you love the 13th chapter of Corinthians? I mean, it is just a beautiful passage. I put it to memory some time ago and discovered that it fits in every context. Every time that I'm counseling with a couple and I ask them, what do you think you might like to use as the scripture that you would choose for your wedding? And almost every time, I would say 99% of the time, they want the 13th chapter of Corinthians read. Either I would do it or somebody else would read it. The only reason that they wouldn't use the 13th chapter of Corinthians is because everybody else uses it, and they would want something different at their wedding. But they look around, they see these different passages that the book of worship or that I might suggest as something that would be used at their wedding. And they might settle for it, but they would feel like it was kind of second to the 13th chapter of Corinthians. Now, every once in a while, they say, can you leave out that other part and just begin with love is patient and kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude and doesn't insist upon its own way, does not rejoice in a wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Every once in a while when I'm reading that, I'll get to that part that says love is not resentful, irritable or resentful. And if one or the other of them happens to be looking at me as I see that, you can tell, ooh, he knows, or, you know, and you wonder, I better not look at her. She'll think that I'm accusing her of being that way, you know, or what, because there's a lot that does apply to the marital relationship. But that was not what Paul was thinking about when he put the 13th chapter of Corinthians together and spoke about love. What we know is that there are many kinds of natural love, and one of those natural loves is the romantic love and affection that you have for one that is your partner, your spouse, maybe an eventual spouse. And that is a kind of natural love that is just there in our life. There's also other kinds of natural love, the love that you have for family. That's not what Paul's talking about either. He's not talking about the kind of natural love that we have for our family members. Now, it's great, and it has its own strengths and its own things to celebrate, but that's not what Paul's talking about. And he's not talking about the kind of natural love that develops among friends. He's not talking about just a friendship kind of love, the way that you feel when you have friendships with other people. And that has its place too. Even in the church, those kind of friendships, those social relationships we have, we love coming together and being with one another because we have developed these friendships, but that's not what Paul is talking about either. He's not talking about all of these wonderful different kinds of love that is just shared in the human family, no matter who you are or where you are in that human family. Paul is talking about a different kind of love. And it's a kind of love that is what we call agape. It's a Greek word for God's unconditional love. And if we have that for one another, it's also a word for the way that we love one another unconditionally, which means that it is something that is a gift. It is not something in response to a need, like, marital love or family love or friendship love. It has many aspects of gift love eventually, but initially it is grounded more in need love, and I need you in this way, and you need me, and we've got kind of a mutual need here that we're trying to fulfill. But Paul says there's a different kind of love, and it's the kind of love that God has for all of us, and especially as we remember that none of us warrant a love that would send Jesus Christ to the cross to die. In spite of everything that we might have in our life that would justify God not loving us anymore, there is a kind of love that is unmerited. And you can't achieve it. You can't accomplish anything. You can't know anything. You can't do anything that is really going to warrant that love. It's there because God is one who gives the gift of his love to us in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. And that love is to be channeled to one another in that same way. In other words, when you gather in Christian community looking at the kind of love that God has for us, then it is by the Spirit's power, by the power of the indwelling Christ within us, which is really what the Spirit is. When the Spirit came to be with us, what Paul discovered was that it is, the very same kind of thing that Christ was and that Christ is. I mean, and as he dwells in us, as we're filled with the Spirit, we're filled with Christ, and there is a kind of love that flows out of that. And Christians count on that. We don't count on having that outside of the Spirit of God in our life. It is the Spirit of God that is that power to have that kind of very special love. And it's a love that looks at everyone that we know as a brother or a sister in Christ. And that's a powerful relationship because it's not built on the way that the world builds its relationships. The world builds its relationships in a way of dividing people over against one another. And that was one of the big, big revelations that we learned when we learned that in Christ there is no Jew or Gentile. Which covers everyone, by the way, because everybody who was not a Jew was a Gentile. There is no male or female. There is no hierarchy in the male and female relationships in this world, and there is no slave or free. In other words, there is no division. The world builds its community on divisions. We have talked about that, and I know that you're tired of that, but the kingdom of God builds its relationships on unity. And unity, being one, is the primary characteristic of Christian unity. because it has that kind of agape, unconditional love at the center. But the church is so, so interesting. Once we discovered all of that, the Corinthian church said, you know, there are no divisions anymore. God loves us all the same. In Jesus Christ, what God has done for all of us is a gift of grace. And then they started making divisions. They started making their own. We don't have the law anymore, but we, as Paul said, do have the Spirit. Paul said, the Spirit is in the church. And so the Corinthian church started to say, well, this is great. You know, we have the Spirit. But obviously some of us have more of the Spirit than others, because some of us are speaking in tongues. Some of us are able we're just more spiritual than some others. And we have spiritual gifts that are better than some others, because not everybody is speaking in tongues. Not everybody has this secret knowledge. There was a kind of knowledge, they call them Gnostics, where you have some kind of inside track and God reveals some things to you that he does not reveal to others. And they said, well, you know, we have a little knowledge that nobody else has. We have a little, some spiritual gifts that others, in the church really don't have. So I guess that makes us better than others. And that's the logical conclusion, that there are some that are better than others. And Paul said, if you understand anything about the Spirit and the way that it works in the church, I've got to put this in context. I want to tell you a lot of stuff about love, but you can't take it out of context here, because the context is the body of Christ. First of all, he said there's no hierarchy in the body of Christ, and he gave the church this analogy that we all are a part of the body of Christ, and it takes every part of the body of Christ to make it healthy. And if one part of the body of Christ is not healthy, then it could kill the body. I mean, the body would die, just like a human body would die. All it takes is one little artery to close up that little part of the body, and it could shut the whole body down. And in the body of Christ, it's the same way. And we all have different gifts, and the gifts are different, but no gift is better than the other gift. And when you put all those gifts together, wow, do you have a wonderful body. And it's the very body of Christ. But he said, listen, I just want to tell you a few things. Now, if I could speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, in other words, if I didn't have just an earthly language, but a heavenly language, if I could do all of that, but not have a life lived out in love, then I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's all it is. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter what I said or how I said it. And he said, if I had prophetic powers and could understand all the mysteries and all the secrets of God, if I had all knowledge, and if I had faith to remove mountains but had not love, I'm still nothing. My life still doesn't matter. And then he went on to say, and everything that I give wouldn't matter. I could give away all of my possessions. And I could even hand over my body as a martyr in order that I may boast. But if I do not do that in love, if it is not motivated, if it is not birthed out of the kind of love that God has now given us in Jesus Christ, then you gain nothing. Paul comes back to all of that again by saying, after he describes love a little bit, now we know in part, now we prophesy in part. It's not full yet, but we have it in part. But one day we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. When you look into a mirror dimly, you can't see all of it, but you see enough of it to keep you excited about the day when you will see it in all of its fullness. And then Paul combines love with two other entities and said, when you put these three things together, it is a powerful, powerful explosion. In fact, it is the most powerful thing in the universe when you get love and hope and faith together. When you put those together, obviously our love is not the way that it is going to be someday. But that is where we have faith. In fact, Elmo Bruner and I like his treatment of this from a book in 1956. We had it in seminary. But he said, do you know what faith is? Faith is the hand that receives the love of God. This is what God has given us that can actually open our heart to receive God's revelation and God's gift of love. That's the real function of faith, to open us up to receive God's love. And he said that hope expects what faith believes. That is, what hope expects, faith believes. What faith believes, hope expects. And they both hope and have faith that God's love is present, that it is strong, and that is persistent, and we will never be without it. We'll be with it in this world, and we will be with it in the next world. And you can look forward to the fullness of that love being expressed. But you don't have to wait until then, because we have it even right now. The meaning of life. You can describe it in a lot of ways. But Paul would say to you, this is it. It's love. And it is loving and being loved. It is faith in God's love and in our love. It is hope that love that we've already received in Jesus Christ is something that is only going to bloom more in the rest of our life. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we know what it means because we have seen the life of Jesus Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and we've seen how far love will go. We thank you for that and ask that you continue to grow that love in us until one day we see you face to face. And we are known fully by you, even as we know you fully then. And we ask now that you just put these powerful virtues, these powerful entities together in each of our life, but especially in our life as a community, that faith and hope and love might thrive. In Jesus' name, amen.